This is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm speaking today by phone with Megan Brunson. Megan is the president of the American Association of Critical Care Nurses Board of Directors. Her term will finish this year, June 30th. And she's also the night shift supervisor in the cardiovascular intensive care unit at Medical City Dallas Hospital, a position she's held since 2007. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And we're talking by phone because we can't be at the American Association of Critical Care Nurses annual meeting, which like many meetings has been canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're working as a critical care nurse, and certainly between that and your duties as the president of AAC, and I'm sure you're extremely busy these days. So before we get into what the association is seeing and hearing from their members and what the association is doing in terms of supporting their members, you're a critical care nurse. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing in your facility, in your area.
I've been at the bedside now 23 years, working night shift. So, you know, as a bedside nurse and a national president, I really feel I have a unique perspective. You know, it is really tough. I mean, when you think about going into your shift and you add on top of that, putting on the protective equipment, your whole routine changes. It's hot, it's hard to talk and communicate with your team, your glasses fog up, you're motioning to other people, I say, in kind of this weird game of charades to get what you need outside the door. You have to cluster your care, and, you know, on top of that, you're worried about every step you take, every motion to protect yourself and your team. Mm-hmm. On top of that, washing your hands raw. So I'm just honored to be part of this profession as nurses are charging towards this monster called COVID.
Yeah. Have you, I've heard nurses doing all sorts of, nurses are great at workarounds anyway, but because of this situation, I've heard of different workarounds nurses have figured out in terms of ways to, you know, limit how many times you have to go in the room. But, you know, one way was people have these enormous tubings to connect to the IV pump so that they're outside the room. And I'm just, do any workarounds come to mind that you and your staff have done?
Yes, Sean. So one of the positives, I would say, of this pandemic is just the innovation. And it has just opened up the floodgates for nurses who are at the front lines to come up with those in-time solutions. So yes, IV pumps outside the room, that has been definitely noticed as an innovation. And also some things for themselves, too. I don't know if you've seen the headbands that have the buttons on them to protect ears. Mm-hmm. That I made some myself for my team, about 20 of them. I'm going to take them in this week. They're ripping through those. How they take on PPE, the masks, and when they have to use them over and over again, using different lunch containers and things like that have been very interesting. And I will say that in the cornerstone of all the things that they're doing, they're just really backed on an evidence protecting themselves and protecting their patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the focus, you know, in talking about protection, certainly the personal protective equipment, the PPE, has been, I think the public certainly knows what that PPE is nowadays. It's been all over the news and the media, and rightly so, because the focus is on the inadequate supply of this material, and how are you doing with it in terms of your facility?
Right. So I feel like the United States as a whole, we're all in kind of different levels of this. Right now, my facility is in a contingency phase, which is recommended by the CDC. So we are reusing, you know, the masks. They get assigned a mask a shift, which is pretty typical for many facilities across the country. They get assigned an X number of gowns that they can use per shift. Again, typical in contingency planning to protect the resources that we do have. In some areas of the country, especially now that some hospitals are really feeling the the silence, I would say, in the hallways, because a lot of surgeries have been canceled, so they're diverting that PPE that would be used in the OR to, you know, to be used in the ICUs. But trying to mitigate when they're using the PPE and how much, and depending on the load of the patients they have in that hospital, and maybe even diverting them to other hospitals in their healthcare system.
Yeah, I've heard. Well, one mask per shift is pretty good. I'm familiar with people that I've spoken to who have one mask per week.
Per week. I have heard that too.
And the only people who are getting the N95 mask are those involved in intubations and caring for the people who are, as they're getting intubated. But I think you're right. It's a regional aspect to it, especially as hospitals are kind of getting that big wave. That's where it seems to be
the
problem.
Exactly.
I think you know, here in the East, in New York City, and now Philadelphia is starting to get an upsurge. You know, people are naturally going to be going through it more as they're dealing with more patients. So AACN, I did see there was a statement that came out April 13th that AACN, along with several other organizations, released a statement calling for personal protective equipment and really a call to action for the necessary ingredients to stop COVID-19. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
You know, our advocacy has been ongoing since the start of this, even before that statement came out. Of course, you know that we also have been to the White House. Mm-hmm. We had a board member go there. We also have followed up with a letter and encouraging our community to be part of this advocacy, writing congressmen and in their local areas to call attention to what they're seeing regionally, because we know that that's part of the difference that we're having across the country. And really just in conjunction, the collaboration with the other healthcare organizations to really say and put a stand on the fact that it is non-negotiable for healthcare providers to not have PPE. It's not anything but scary to the frontline workers, but also the fact that the PPE is protecting those that are protecting us.
Right.
And if the healthcare providers get sick, then that in itself is going to be a whole nother level to where we are with this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we are collaborating with many organizations and coming up with joint statements. We did another joint statement about against multiple patients being put on ventilators. And we all also are part of that partnership hospital preparedness program. We have two mm-hmm. board members that go to D.C. and speak for that. So there's quite a wide range of advocacy in collaboration and by ourselves that we're doing.
One of the things I noticed is that when they show video of other countries, their PPE, at least not the mask, but the outfits, the covering mm-hmm. from head to toe, seems so much more complete than what our staff is wearing, our nurses are wearing. They have right. the whole wood, a suit, you know, it's almost like a hazmat suit.
Right.
And it just seems to me that what we have is just so far less than what other countries have in terms of the, you know, the garments and the face shields and whatnot. Are you
right.
seeing any results of the advocacy efforts? I mean, from the White House or any groups? I mean, everybody seems to be demonstrating and calling for this, but yet it seems to be an ongoing issue. We're now how many weeks into it, and people are still saying we need this stuff.
Right. You know, Sean, just to be totally honest, I myself, and I know ACN and the advocacy we're doing with these Other organizations will not be satisfied to every single nurse and healthcare provider has the PPE that they need every single time, every patient that they go when they go into those rooms. Mm-hmm. There does seem like a discrepancy of what is going on in other countries compared to what is going on in the U.S., but we do use the evidence-based guidelines that the CDC is putting out. And right now in those contingency planning and those kind of tiered preparation that they have, it does not call for bunny suits and to have some of the things that we are seeing in the other countries. Mm-hmm. The N95 mask is really the key. Many places in Seattle, New York, who have had these surges in patients have been using those for weeks now, and their healthcare providers, I'm not saying none of them haven't gotten sick, but really we have not yet quite seen the healthcare providers, being totally taken out without using those measures the CDC is currently recommending.
Yeah, I have to admit that there was a collective gasp, I think, from every nurse when people started looking at bandanas as PPE. I think.
Oh yeah.
I think right. Everybody thought, "Oh my gosh, where are we?" So I'm glad to see that kind of got taken off the table.
right. Completely unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Yeah. So the last thing I just wanted to touch on and get your comment on, because that there's been an issue in many places about PPE, and certainly we're starting to see this now in nursing homes that have never been as well equipped as hospitals, that people are bringing their own PPE, or there's been some protests of nurses speaking out saying we don't have this equipment and those kinds of things. And yet they're getting penalized by hospitals for speaking out, for kind of letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And then the family members get upset because they realize from all the news that they've heard that this is not a good situation for their families, let alone the healthcare providers. And some of these people are getting fired. So I'm just wondering what your, as a critical care nurse and having to deal with this, have you had any members in this situation, or just what's your own thought about this?
Right. I am not aware of any members that are currently in that situation, but not saying that there isn't. And I have heard of those stories. And really, I think during this time of a pandemic, nurses are in this sort of ethical practice standard that there's a conflict, right? So that as a nurse, you're committed to the patient, and you owe that duty of care to them, but you also have that commitment and duty to care for yourself. And so, we're going to see conflict in the pandemic where there's this moral distress over what nurses and the situations that nurses are finding themselves in. Ultimately, I will say that it is really that individual's nurse's choice in order to make sure that they protect themselves and also their professional integrity. Mm-hmm. I would hope that it wouldn't get to that point and that the nurses are having, that bold voice and that courage to speak up before it comes to that point where they're fired or they feel that they are such at a level of unsafety that they have to, leave their job. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's that individual's choice where they feel like they're in conflict and it's out of balance between, the right to give and care for their patients and the right to take care of themselves.
Mm, yeah. So obviously this is such a stressful time. What are some of your nurses doing to kind of just relieve the stress and kind of just, get away from it and reorient it in their heads? Any suggestions that you have or anything that seems to be working for you or your staff?
Right. It's hard because, just like you said, nurses, also the pandemic is affecting them at home as well, whether it be spouses that have lost their jobs or, they themselves are going back to an empty apartment without family and without able to, have some of that time to enjoy gatherings with friends or family. So right now, a lot of the nurses actually are coming home, making sure that they're not working, too many shifts in a row, doing those self-checks so they can stay home and get those breathers that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They've had, so to speak, the, cocktail hours that we all have had on Zoom calls and things
right.
like that to connect. Yeah. And really, you know, checking in with one another and making sure that we all are at a safe place to return to work, not just with PPE, but, you know, just that you mentally, emotionally, and physically are safe to come in. Mm-hmm. I will mention that, you know, in my area, I'm in the Dallas area, and a lot of hospitals are actually having a really drop in census. So we are able right now to cover all the shifts and have that time to rotate out nurses so they can get that breathing room. We aren't predicted to have a surge, I think, until May 1st. So we'll see how that changes. Mm. But.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for your time and on this and all that you're doing in your area, and certainly for all the critical care nurses and advocating for them. So thank you, and best of luck, and stay safe.
Yes, thank you, Sean. Thank you so much.